93.5, 95.3, the new Connect FM. Tay and Chay Show, Monday, 3:34, May 9th, 2011. And we welcome on Adam Harris from 670 The Score. Adam, how are you today?
Excellent, guys. How are you?
Doing great.
I'm doing nervous.
I'm still confident.
You know, Adam, I am too. Bulls lose 188 yesterday to the Atlanta Hawks. Big fourth quarter from the Atlanta, 33-19 in that fourth quarter. Bulls really struggled offensively. Derrick Rose took 32 shots in this game. I think that's a story kind of this game. 32 shots to get 34 points. He's been like that the rest of this series. He shot 27, 25. Do you think he's taking too many shots, Adam?
I understand why he's taking so many shots. His answer is simply, I think 32 is too many, unless he's going to make, 70% of them, I guess. But I think that he needs to get the rest of his team involved. But the reason he didn't is because yesterday he couldn't trust anybody else. And the only guy he could trust is Carlos Boozer,
right. Who
had a great third quarter. But it's very hard to trust a guy like that who has kind of not shown up all playoffs. So, yes, I think he needs to take less shots and, in other words, get the rest of his team involved more. But I understand why he did that yesterday.
Yeah, and I sat there and I thought about this last night after I watched the game, and I said, was Derek a ball hog in that last quarter? And I understand, like you said, why he's taking shots. His teammates were struggling. You know, that's his time. That's his winning time. That's where he really succeeds. But at the same time, he drive to the basket. I get that's working for the Bulls, but change it up a little bit. You're getting so predictable with what they're doing. I mean, Atlanta's matches up well against that. They have the tall guys, athletic guys that can get up and block his shot. Really contest that runner he has. And my thing is, Carlos Boozer's having his best game through three quarters, and he doesn't even get the ball, really, in the last quarter. I thought Tom Thibodeau should have maybe at least tried to set some things through Carlos Boozer, and I don't understand why he didn't, Adam.
I was actually curious about that, too, because it was nice to see that man play well on the offensive end. Now, I don't think he had that great of a game as far as that goes, but I think that he was doing very well on the offensive end in the third quarter. So I guess we could take a positive out of that. Derek is the MVP of the NBA, and he can never be classified as a ball hog in my mind.
Yeah.
So when he takes that many shots, it's just, I understand it. He just didn't, he missed a lot of layups. You know, I think he missed recall off the top of my head, he missed about four or five layups.
Right.
And so those go in. And then he's got 40 points, and then you don't care how many shots he takes. So I'm fine with him taking that many shots, but if he's missing like he was, I was kind of concerned with Deng. Deng only had 13 points, and when Deng scores 20, the Bulls are in a lot better shape because that allows Derek to kind of set him up. So that was my concern with Luol Deng.
Talking Bulls with Adam Harris from 670 to score up in Chicago. And Adam, you said you're still confident. Why are you still confident with this Bulls team?
See, yeah, I wanted to get to that because we've been talking a lot of negative on how many shots he took, and Boozer looked okay. But I think the Bulls still control the heck out of this series. You know, this Atlanta team, they played out of their minds yesterday, too, I think, especially in that fourth quarter. Josh Smith, he's going to put up that game sometimes, except for the assists. And he had 8 assists. And you know what? They were pretty nice assists, too. And that's not the type of player he is. The Bulls kind of collapsed on defense there in the fourth quarter. Really bad. There were a lot of Horford dunks, layups, and Josh Smith dunks, and that was the reason the Bulls lost right there, and because they just collapsed like crazy on defense. The Bulls would go down, they wouldn't score, and the Hawks got an easy bucket, and it was from an assist from Josh Smith, which is not going to happen going forward. The Bulls are still well in control of the series. You kind of look back feelings-wise to even the Jordan days when Utah would tie it up 2-2, and it would go, and everyone's like, maybe this is the year. I kind of look at it like that, where the Bulls are pretty much in control still.
Well, and the Bulls, I mean, they struggled last night, but they seem to be playing consistently. You know, other than Derrick Rose making a few more shots in Game 3, I think the rest of these guys are playing consistently. They're playing hard defense. Interior defense was the worry for me last night. You know, that's where Carlos Boozer really struggled. And you brought it up. Josh Smith, he had 24 points or whatever it was, but he had like 22 shots to get there. It was Al Horford with all those open dunks. And Boozer and Joe Kim really struggled with that last night. But one guy I really liked out there, and I looked at the stats today, he was a +4 while I was out there, was Omer Asik. Should he be playing more?
Yeah, I was kind of wondering why he didn't really play as much in the fourth quarter there. Omer played really well. Yeah, why not? I mean, I like him as a player. Like, I think that he should play more. He hustles and he plays defense very well, and he's decent on the offensive end. I know Joakim didn't really play very well in that second half, but he looked great in that first half. He was hustling down offensive rebounds like no other. The key is that offensive rebound for the Bulls. They can't give the Hawks these second chances. And that, if Omer is going to help with that, which I think he very well could, then I think he should get more playing time.
Now, the Bulls outscored 33-19 in the fourth quarter. I mean, that's not something you want to see occur. I mean, what can you contribute to that last night? Was it just Atlanta catching fire?
It was the points in the paint. I think, what, the Hawks had like 50-plus points in the paint or something like that. And the Bulls didn't even come close to that. I don't know the exact stat, but I know the points in the paint was the big differential. And in the fourth quarter, you saw a lot of that coming from Horford and Josh Smith, like we touched on. I think that the Hawks are a team that's going to get hot. You know, that's the type of game that they play. And you, after the game, you know, their coach was like, yeah, we're going to watch this tape. I'm going to show it to Josh Smith. I've talked to him multiple times. You know, he knows that he can be this good. But they are never this good this consistently. You know, they have a great team in spurts. And, you know, they're frankly just dumb. And so next game, they're probably going to come into this game thinking that they're hot stuff and thinking that they figured it out finally. But the thing is, they've had the same team for the last 5 years, and they still haven't figured it out. So I just think this team is dumb, and they're going to come in cocky tomorrow and lose.
Now, I was listening after the game to Kenny Smith and Chris Webber and Charles Barkley and the guys,
yes.
And they were talking about Derrick Rose and the 32 shots. And, of course, Barkley and Smith both thinking that's way too many, basically because of this, Adam, because he's a point guard. And when you look at the fact that, you know, the Bulls, Derrick Rose had 10 assists. Nobody else had more than three, yet he scores 34 points. So, obviously, he's doing a lot of that on his own. But Keith Bogans only gets two shots. I mean, are the Bulls not better, though, when Rose does spread that around and get guys like Bogans and some of these guys a little more attempts?
See, yeah, that's the reason that it's very tough. And you look back in the last 20 years of the NBA or 15 years where the best player on a team of a championship team has not been the point guard simply because he has to do everything. The point has to get the assist and the points. But when you look at the best players, they're those hybrid 2-3 players like Wade and Kobe and even LeBron types who hasn't won a championship yet, but they don't have to bring the ball up the court, you know, like, and it's just a matter of not having to do as much. All they have to do is score and play good defense. I think Rose needs to get the ball around a little bit more, but also he needs to be our leading scorer. It's a tough thing, and that's why it's tough for a point guard to be the best player on a championship team. Mm-hmm. Now, Keith Bogans starts for defense, you know, but I understand what you're saying, where more players need to get more shots, and I think that's where Luol Deng needs to get more shots.
Right.
I never thought I'd be saying that ever as a Bulls fan, ever, but I think Luol Deng has shown this year that he could take pressure off Derrick Rose, and he should get more shots.
Well, when you talk about a Kyle Korver, he's not going to go over 5 from 3 every day.
True. And that's another good point, you know. But we were talking today at the station, what is Kyle Korver to you if he can't make threes? I mean, that's it. If he can't make threes, what is he to you? Because he can't play defense.
Yeah,
like he's Juan Pierre of the Bulls. Like if he can't make threes, then he's nothing. So he's going to make those, and he just had a cold day. It's understandable. It was just a bunch of those things collectively at once, and then the fourth quarter, the Hawks got hot and smart. It's not even that they got hot; they just all of a sudden became a smart team for like 10 minutes, which is not going to happen.
Adam Harris, 670 The Score. I'd like to know what the reaction in Chicago was to the Lakers getting swept. Not only getting swept, but game four. I mean, they just got blown out.
What was the reaction there? It was disbelief, right?
Like, yeah.
That's kind of what we were thinking up here. It's very, like, kind of jaw-dropping, like, oh, the series is over? The Lakers lost kind of thing? Like, and how they reacted to it? Like, that makes no sense to me. Mm-hmm. I think it was a great story and a great series, but I kept thinking, okay, the Lakers will go 7 now. The Lakers, you know,
right.
And watching that game yesterday, I mean, the Mavericks, Jason Terry went 5-for-5 from three-point land in the second quarter.
Mm-hmm.
There was nothing the Lakers could do. That game was insane. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, the lead went from 5 to, like, 20 in just one quarter, and the Lakers were frustrated. Mm-hmm. I think it was very juvenile how they took it out on him, but the reaction up here was definitely kind of surprise and, you know, disbelief. I'm sure a lot of people turned the Bulls pregame on and noticed the Lakers were out of the playoffs and didn't even realize it.
Yeah, I don't think anyone was beating the Mavericks last night, but I'm surprised it took us this long to bring up this subject, Adam, and that's the referee, Bennett Salvatore's call yesterday, no call, his inadvertent whistle. I know there's a lot of reaction up there today. What impact do you think that had at that moment? The Bulls were down six. It should have been Rose at the free throw line shooting three, or else the play should have never happened, and the Bulls should have still had a possession. What impact do you think that had on the game yesterday?
I think it had the same type of impact that it had when I was sitting watching the game on the couch, which was really that too? You know, like, you feel like you're just kind of getting screwed as a fan and then as a player. And, you know, I thought it was also stupid. They showed a replay of it, and, you know, they had the sound on, and Steve Kerr listened to it, and he's like, let's see if we can hear a whistle. And then you clearly hear a whistle, and Steve Kerr's like, you couldn't really hear anything right there. And I'm like, I was screaming at the TV. I'm like, you can hear it. It's a whistle, you know, but I think that's a foul too, you know. And they said it's an inadvertent whistle. They should have just gone with it and said, no, that was a real whistle, because that was definitely a foul. Rose goes the line there, maybe makes three. I still say the Bulls lose because they couldn't stop anybody.
Right.
But, you know, the reaction up here was just kind of got underplayed, actually, because of all the other things to talk about like we have been.
Well, game five, what's the key to the game, Adam?
I think it's definitely Derek getting his teammates involved early in the game. Definitely, I think, getting, like, Dang going, getting Noah going. You notice how superstars in the past have always done it. Sometimes, you know, past couple years, like 5 or 6 years, Kobe won't even take a shot in the whole first quarter because he does it because he knows he'll come around and be hot. He gets his teammates involved. And I think that's the big thing is getting Dang like his usual like 10. You know how he gets like 10 to 12 points in the first quarter? You think he's going to go off for like 30 and then he has nothing the rest of the game? I'm fine with Dang getting like 10, his 10 to 12 in the first quarter. Because that gets everybody else going, takes pressure off Rose. Because Rose, I think, feels a lot of pressure, and it's a lot for him to handle this past week.
Game five is tomorrow, Bulls and Hawks. That series tied 2-2. Adam Harris, 670 the score. Always a we always appreciate it, buddy. Thanks for coming on again.
Hold on, are you guys confident or no?
Because
I'm so confident.
Hey, Adam, I still think they're confident. Atlanta was playing unbelievable last night. Yeah. The Bulls stuck with them until a couple of Derrick Rose turnovers and that inadvertent whistle. So, you know, I thought they controlled that game, even though Atlanta, you know, was shooting well. So unless Atlanta shoots 50% for the next 2 out of 3 games, I think the Bulls still win this series.
Listen, I'm the last guy to ask on this because I'm not a Bulls fan. But I just have this weird feeling about Atlanta in this series. I've had it since before the series started. I don't know why. I mean, there's no explanation as to why it would be. I don't know if it's because the Bulls were so good during the regular season and didn't really impress me that much against the Pacers. I don't know if they're running out of steam.
See, but I think this home crowd having this is why the number one seed was so important, because they had that home crowd. And with the way the White Sox and Cubs are playing right now,
it's all about the Bulls.
Chicago is going to will this team to victory just so they can have at least 2 more weeks of Bulls basketball.
Just make sure you guys know that Atlanta has always had this potential to be the next up and coming, high flying, awesome team. So. They show signs all the time, but it doesn't change the fact that they're still dumb. They're a dumb team.
They're dumb. It's that simple. Adam Harris, thanks, buddy.
All right, guys. See ya.
You have a good day. Adam Harris, so you guys are confident. I don't know why. I have no credibility to sit here and say that I think Atlanta because of this or this. Not with the Atlanta Hawks.
You're Lante.
Oh, yeah, okay.
You have tons of credibility.
But I'm just the whole time, even that very first day when you asked me, I'm like, I could see the Hawks winning this series.
I could see this going 7. Mm-hmm. I thought that from the beginning. The matchup, Atlanta can get really streaky like they've shown this series. But how about you Bulls fans out there? Are you pretty confident still in this team? Are they still going to win this thing? 359, call 217-359-2255.
Tay and Jay Show, 93.5, 95.3.
Connect FM.
You know what you do with this weather. You go golf.
Can we do a show?
Can we skip a show one day to go golf? Would Stevie let us do that? How about Thursday? Because we've got the Cardinals-Cubs game on at 1:20.
We could sneak like 9 holes in.
Sneak 9 in. You want to?
We could try it.
Well, I know one guy that was golfing the other day when I tried to get a hold of him. That was Friday, and that's Sean Kelly, a buddy of mine from the college days. Sean Kelly, you are now the play-by-play guy for the New Orleans Hornets, play-by-play broadcaster. How are you?
I'm good, except for that golf game.
It wasn't a very good day, huh?
No, it was not. It never is.
You're busy, though. You know, you're busy because the Hornets are winning a lot now. You don't have time for golf.
No, during the season, I don't play golf at all. And then I expect that I'm going to be good as soon as I pick up the clubs. And, of course, you know, that's not going to be the case.
Absolutely. Well, Sean, I know that you and I were down at school at the same time and used to hang out. And you've really done a great job now as an NBA broadcaster. And one of the things that I mentioned to Jeremy about a week ago was we should have Sean on to chat about this NBA and how crazy it is. And I want to start with the Los Angeles Lakers and how they went out yesterday. So I would like your opinion. I mean, that's the team that knocked the Hornets out. Your opinion on the Lakers getting swept like they did, and then, of course, your opinion on the Bynum deal. I mean, that was terrible.
I'm not surprised that they're out. I am surprised that they got beat up like they did in four games. I mean, other than the game one steal that the Mavericks pulled off out in Los Angeles, the series wasn't even close. I do think the Hornets exposed them a little bit in round one, and the defending champs didn't quite have the same heart that they've had the last couple of years, and Dallas took it right to them. That's a shock the way that ended up yesterday.
What about Andrew Bynum with that cheap shot, Sean? What did you think? I know a lot of broadcasters have come out and said there's no place for that, that he should be suspended next year to start the season. What did you think about that? Was that just a hard hit, like circa 1980s Detroit Pistons, or was this something more than that?
No, you're onto something a little bit. There is a difference between a playoff foul and a regular season foul, and you have to understand that the game is going to be different here in April and May than it is, you know, say in the dead of winter. But that was a cheap shot yesterday. That was an immature play by an immature player. This is a guy that's been babied since the time he entered the league. They've babied him all the way along the way and are real patient and gentle with him and everything else. And no one's ever toughened this guy up. I know he's been Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's project and all that, but as far as the way to go about playing the game and showing some maturity and some class, no one's ever, I don't think, showed him the way, and it sure did come out yesterday when they were getting blown out.
Sean Kelly joining us. He's in his fourth season as the radio play-by-play voice of the New Orleans Hornets, the team that got knocked out by the L.A. Lakers. Now the Lakers are joining the New Orleans Hornets in the offseason. And, Sean, did you see anything in those five or six games that you thought the Lakers were seriously flawed?
They couldn't defend the pick and roll. That was the first problem they had. And then I don't think they had the ability to rotate out and get the shooters, and that's where Dallas killed them. I mean, let's be honest here that yesterday was a little bit of a freak show with 23-pointers going in for the Mavericks. That was a little much. But we saw that a little bit during the whole series to where, yes, they matched up with Dallas's length okay because you had Bynum and Gasol, but Gasol just wasn't having a great postseason at all. There's something going on with him, and I'm sure there'll be a story in the LA Times or something that'll come out in the next couple of days that says that there's a personal problem or some kind of an issue with Pau Gasol because he never even came close to his regular season numbers during the playoffs. I think maybe one game out of the 10 that they played or whatever it was that he was even close. And then, you know, option 1A being Kobe Bryant, I thought Kobe at times was pretty special, but not near the dominant player he was last year in the postseason.
And now the end of Phil Jackson's era, maybe. Do you buy that, Sean? Is he done for good?
I'm buying right now. Of course, you never say never, but just the way that he was acting during our series and the things he was saying in postgame and pregame press conferences and whatnot, you have the sense that he was, A, a little done with it, and B, kind of getting all of his parting shots out, you know, as far as the final things he wanted to say about the league and about New Orleans and about Sacramento and about, you know, just different issues that were kind of hitting the league up a little bit during the postseason. You just got the sense that he was going to get his say in and kind of go out, you know, now.
Right.
I'm done. That was the deal.
Well, Sean, one question I'd like to ask you about the league itself, and before we kind of focus in on the Bulls a little bit, of course, the team that we cover quite a bit here, what do you think of this going? I mean, obviously we're going to have the labor issues coming up soon with the league. I mean, you're an NBA broadcaster. What is your take on this? How ugly is this going to get for the NBA?
It's hard to say, you know, and I am a little bit handcuffed by what I can say because I'm a league employee.
Sure.
But I will say this. The only thing that bothers me right now is that we're seeing unprecedented ratings across the board with all these great playoff series. I think the league is as healthy as it's been in a long time with regard to its relationship with the fans and the quality of the game on the floor. So you really hope that these two sides can get together and find a way to make things work, because this would be a terrible time to stop working and playing the games because you lose so much momentum. You're in much better shape than hockey was when they had their lockout. You're in much better shape than the NBA was 10 years ago when they had their later stoppage as well. So right now, it seems like, I don't want to say it's the golden years of the NBA, but I think this is as close as to the 1980s with Magic and Bird that we're seeing the NBA right now as far as its playing health goes. And I'd hate to see that momentum lost.
Sean Kelly, the New Orleans Hornets radio play-by-play man, Southern Illinois Saluki.
Oh, of course. hey, Kelly, are you dogging Dr. J? You got to include him in that Bird Magic thing.
Well, I'm not dogging him. I'm just saying
I'm kidding.
Yeah, no. Just when Stern finally got it going in the 80s,
right.
He finally got the market sizes all lined up and you had the right stars in the right cities. That's where we started to see the health of the league turn around. And then Jordan just continued it into the 90s.
Sorry.
Well, Sean, it's a wide-open playoffs, it seems, right now. The Lakers are out of it. I think the NBA would like to have them in it. But who do you like right now to kind of take hold of this thing and be the favorite to win it all?
Well, I'll say right now, unfortunately, because I'm a Western Conference guy, I hate to say this, but right now it's going to be Chicago or Miami to take this whole thing. I really love the way that Tom Thibodeau has got the Bulls playing basketball this year. And how can you not love Derrick Rose and what he's been able to do with an MVP season? And the Heat are really playing pretty well right now. It's more together as a team than they have been. And maybe that's just a byproduct of time together because it's been long enough for them. So right now, I got to say that the momentum is on the Eastern side of things. And that's not good for the West or, you know, and fans like myself in the Western Conference. But I think that the NBA is at least holding their breath that at least Chicago or Miami's in the finals because of market size.
That's a good point. Sean Kelly, New Orleans Hornets broadcaster, we appreciate it. And I will be in touch with you again, maybe bring you on again before these playoffs have ended. Does that sound good?
I would love to.
Thank you very much, Sean. I'll talk to you soon, my man.
All right, take care, guys.
All right, that is Sean Kelly, New Orleans Hornets broadcaster.
Fighting a windstorm
down
there.
Yeah, I don't know what's
going
on down there. I apologize. I know they're facing some water issues again down in New Orleans, unfortunately, and I don't kid about that. So I know that wouldn't cause that, but I don't know what's going on. But Sean is a kid that has really made it. He was the voice of the Tulane Green Wave and now the voice of the New Orleans Hornets, and I'm sure a guy that is a little worried about this labor stoppage because it would directly affect him.
Exactly. I mean, I know he couldn't talk much about it. I wish we could talk more with him about it, but being an NBA employee, he can't get into it much. But New Orleans Hornets at the center of this thing.
Yes.
I mean, they moved from Charlotte to go there, and New Orleans is struggling to support that franchise right there. So you wonder what's going to happen in the NBA. I mean, a lockout is more understandable. I know we hate a lockout, but it's more understandable there than in the NFL. Because it was reported that 22 teams lost money last year. So NBA is in as much danger, probably more danger of losing games next year because of this. And it'll be interesting to see where this goes.
What do you think about that, Jeremy? I mean, you're a big NBA fan. What needs to happen? Do they need to take one or two teams like Toronto? I know they want to keep it in Canada, but what do they do?
I don't know if that solves everything.
Right.
I think they have too many teams. I think when they went to Vancouver and they went to Toronto, that was a problem. I think they expanded at the height of everything.
Yeah, sure.
And then when Jordan left and the economy crumbled right back down, I think that really surprised them and it really thinned the league out a lot. And now I think they're going to have to go to a hard cap, because teams, there's a salary cap in basketball, unlike there is in the NFL right now and in the Major League Baseball, but there's a salary cap, but teams can go over it. It's a soft cap. They can go over it, pay luxury tax and all that, but I think it's going to have to go a hard cap, and I think I'm interested to see where that goes because we've had so many dynasties in the NBA. You think of the San Antonio Spurs won 4 of 9. The Lakers have won 2 straight. They've won, 5 in the last 9 years as well. So you have just these teams that dominate for long periods of time. If there's a hard cap, they're not going to be able to do that because you're not going to be able to go over the cap to sign your own guys. It's going to make things a lot interesting. I think that'll take down. You're not going to see Joe Johnson make 6 years for $119 million.
Right, exactly.
I don't think you're going to see that happen anymore. I think you're going to see a lot more parity if that happens. And I wonder if that's good for the league or not, because when you have the Lakers, when you have the Celtics, when you have the Bulls dominating, that's when the ratings are up. So it'll be interesting to see where it goes from here.
Well, and one thing that struck me, one thing I did not like about it was what Miami did with LeBron. And when they all got together with Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh and LeBron, I just... personally, maybe it's great for basketball, and I've even told you before, I actually wanted to watch the Miami Heat
it's
because of that.
For basketball.
But I don't like that. I don't like seeing that. I don't like... It's
happened
not,
before,
It's
though.
Not collusion, I know, but no, I know it has. I just have never been a big fan of that. To me, it's kind of like, you know, try to, like Bird came out and said, you know, I never tried to play with the best.
Oh, but come on.
But
yeah,
he did.
But he did play with the best.
He played Kevin McHale and Robert Parrish and Dennis Johnson and so on.
Yeah,
so,
how many Hall of Famers are on that
absolutely.
Team? And I get it. I get why people don't like LeBron for leaving Cleveland and all that. But when people criticize him about not wanting to win, that's all this decision was about.
Yeah.
It was going to Miami and winning a championship.
Absolutely.
And eight, like he said, which is ridiculous. But, you know, that was what he wanted to accomplish. And I know it's not, people see it. I mean, I took it as this way. I thought, you know, why don't you try and do it by yourself? You know, why do you need Dwayne Wade? Why do you have to be the second guy to do it? But, hey, he's going to win. I mean, Michael Jordan didn't win until he had Scottie Pippen.
Good point. You asked earlier about the Mount Rushmore of coaches. Can we just focus today on basketball? Because that's all I can get in my head right now. Can I give you the four that I would put on my Mount Rushmore of coaches?
Of college basketball coaches, we'll do that. What do you think?
College and NBA.
Okay. 359, call 217-359-2255. Also, Illinois added a new addition. Ibrahima Gym Day.
Ah!
Ibby, 6'9", 250 power forward. How do you think he fits into this team? Give us a call, 359-CALL, 217-359-2255.
We'll come back with a Warner Wrap. I'll give you my four on the Mount Rushmore of basketball coaches. That's next. Tay and Jay Show, 93.5, 95.3.
Connect FM.